Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord is mightily, mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love Him. He was gracious to us and gave us another day. I know the rapture is imminent any moment now, and it's going to happen. But until it does, I'm going to do these broadcasts, and I love the Lord, our God and King. His return is soon. And it's going to be a blessing for all who go. And my greatest heart's desire is to reach those that don't know Him. I would hate to be left here to go through the tribulation. Now, as a Christian, I already go through tribulation. Satan tried to kill me several times and couldn't do it. I don't like him now. But the Lord has blessed me. I've always overcome Him, and I always will. And like I said in the last broadcast, my life is not painful. I'm not in a hurry for the rapture to come. I just want to go when it does. And I have to preach that it's imminent because I'm obeying my Lord and King. And He wants people to know what time it is. He does nothing until He reveals it to His prophets and His people. You know, prophets also include His people who love Him, because the prophets tell the people, so He let people know what He's up to. The rapture is going to catch the world off guard and people that were not looking for His return, but He's going to take those who are right with Him. And there's a crown you get, I believe, when you're looking for His glorious return. And I'm looking for it because God loves us. Now, He's coming with great, we're going to be greatly rewarded, not just with things, but with time. We're going to live forever. We're already in the kingdom of God. And when anybody go on to be with the Lord, they go on to be with the Lord right now. There's no soul sleep. I've heard preachers talk about that on certain radio broadcasts. I'm like, what in the world did they get that miserable doctrine? Paul said, I don't know why people think it's all right to just overlook what God has revealed through His men of God. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And they still preach soul sleep in 2019. I love them anyway. They'll go to heaven, but they'll get a pleasant surprise whenever they pass. But they make people cry. They make people miserable thinking that somebody's sitting there in that dead body asleep. You don't soul sleep. No such thing. Your spirit is alive. Your spirit don't even sleep. Your body sleeps. You're not aware of, but your spirit's awake, and God can talk to you while you sleep. Your body's getting rest, and He can give you a dream and minister to you, and you'll remember it. And you can even ask questions in some of those dreams. I thank the Lord. He is mightily moving. God loves us. He thinks of everything. Well thought out. Now, when we follow God under the anointing, we put things in motion that can't be reversed. And we talked about yesterday how a man is operating doing good works aside from the anointing, that's just man's strength. But when you are anointed and do things, you have God's ability to do that. And you can do some amazing things. You know, one man can't kill 1,000 men on his own. That's nowhere near possible for an ordinary man to kill 1,000 men in one fight. But Samson did it because he was anointed to judge and to kill. So, what you have to do, you have to look at what God can do in you, and don't be surprised at what the Lord can do with your anointing. Use that anointing. If God has called you to the ministry, given you an office, and anointed you to do something, use it. It doesn't do any good unless you use it. And sometimes people are in the ministry, but they're not. They didn't follow God. The only way to get where you're supposed to be in ministry is to follow God. you're not going to be nowhere near as effective unless you do what the Lord has put in your heart to do. Some people try to be an evangelist because they don't want to be tied down to a church. That's not good enough. You're an evangelist if God called you to be an evangelist. And then with that, you got to do it the way God called you to do it. If you have a burden for the lost and you really want to bless people to get to know God, you know, you have that's from the end. That's a desire. All right. Now what is God's method for you to evangelize? See, and it's going to be something that you never thought about. If you cookie cut your ministry and try to do what others do, it's never going to work right, and you're out of the realm of your anointing if you don't do what God give you to do. If you have the office, that's fine. The office of itself won't do it. The office comes with an anointing, but the anointing has a specific reach, a specific avenue where it works. And you have to you have to let your anointing marry obedience. And that's where people are failing. They don't, instead of obeying what God give them because it's oddball, they try to do something that the people will be used to. Now, you can't serve God and man. And a lot of ministries take a lot of finances. And if you don't have the skills to work, like Paul made tents, sometimes you're just on your own and nobody cares about what you're doing. Not enough to help you. They may want you to do it, but if it's something odd and they never seen it. And they never seen it before, they won't they're not gonna support it the same. They'll think you're off in left field. And there may be circumstances where you gotta do it yourself. It's important to know what God wants. What is God saying? That's what you have to deal with. Whatever God told you to do, that's where you're going to be effective. Sometimes just stop before you have an accident. Before it gets worse. And go in prayer and come out doing what God wants you to do. Pray long enough to tell God all of your concerns, whatever they are, and then listen. And whatever He say, begin to do that. With the anointing, there's a road you gotta walk. God may send you to a specific church, because that's where you're going to get an element that you need. Or your anointing is going to work there. And God has, you know, the people will listen to you. God knows, He thinks of everything. You may have to go to another city. Angels will open doors for you. Don't worry. Don't ever worry about how it's going to work out. It's going to be better. And it's going to work good. And you're going to love it. Your heart's going to be there. I gave the analogy once that a man may have the house of his dreams, and then the Lord may want him to move to another state, let's say Mississippi. And he never had a desire to go to Mississippi until the Lord put it in his heart. And then the Lord will deal with his wife. If she loves God, he'll deal with her. And you know, it'll just be in your heart to go to Mississippi. And you can't shake it. And then you start asking the Lord about it, and He'll tell you where to go in Mississippi. And the Lord's going, and angels will help you sell your house, transfer your jobs. You have to leave your job, get another one, and you'll get good deals. And everything will work. You have to stay in faith about it. You got to do it on purpose in obedience. Don't grudgingly obey God. Willingly obey God. Willing and obedient. And I say, take it beyond that. Be dedicated with it. enjoy the ride. You may leave the house of your dreams to get a house. There's another house of your dreams, and God is good. Doors will open up for you. But then when you get there, that's where your heart is, because that's where you're supposed to be. That's where the peace is. Follow the peace. Have a don't care attitude, though you do. Lord, take my life and do something with it. That was my prayer one time, and I meant it. That was not just a whim. That I meant that. I said, Lord, take my life. I wasn't going forward like I wanted to. I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. I didn't have the measure of success that I desired when I was 22 years old. And I was, at that point, I wanted to be in my field. I had already finished trade school. In fact, I was supposed to be taking accounting. That was my plan, but my plans didn't work out. And I was gonna finish trade school, then work as a mechanic at a dealership so I could learn more. I was preparing to get my own business. And then I was gonna take accounting or business so that I could get my own shop. That was my goal and intent. But I didn't know how to keep books. What I knew about keeping books was what I saw my mother do at that time. But I didn't get trained for it like I wanted to. Because I like to do things the right way. I saw my parents do things in an excellent way, and I wanted to do the same thing. But I got in a band. I was in an R&B band. And we played a lot of songs. But I got saved. I got out the band. And then I was going to go back with my goals. But I didn't get stage two. I finished stage one, but I never got the job I wanted. Because I was going to work in the day, go to school in the evening. And then I had to, but I read Matthew a lot. The Sermon on the Mount. I studied that more than anything. I studied what Jesus said more than anything. I read the Gospels. That was what I read the most. And it got in my heart. That's how I became a businessman. I treated people right. And the rest worked itself out. If I had been trained in business, I would have done better. But God used what I had. And I was ready for business and didn't know it. And the Lord closed the door, and I ended up having my own mobile auto service. Small business, but a good one. I was able to pay my bills and do a few things I wanted to do. I restored a truck. I thank God that for the process, because He wanted me to see what was out there. I come from a good neighborhood, and He gave me an anointing to reach people. I wanted to help people, but I didn't know how to do it. But see, with the anointing, I can help people. If I had gone with my plan, I would not have known the things that I saw. For 8 years, I worked at people's houses, and you see a lot of things. You hear a lot of conversations when you're working on a car, and you hear people talking while they're sitting on their front porch. And they're talking on the phone. You hear part of their life story, and you see how things, it was a lesson of sowing and reaping. And most people would not, they didn't include God in the process. And they had trouble. Some people went, the happiest people were those who went to church and was dedicated to the Lord. And their children did better. Their children were more apt to finish college and get on a career and build a home, build a family. But people who decided they didn't need God, they had court dates, and they had to bail their children out. They had to juggle what they needed versus what they needed to do to get their children out of jail, and or their cousins or whatever. And they had alcohol. They had all kind of problems, unnecessary problems. And these are people that God loves, and I love them. These are everyday folk. And I'm going to church and I'm seeing what God is doing. And I said, man, I wish everybody knew this. And you can't drag them now unless it's a funeral or something. And God loves people. So he helped me to understand some situations. And I wanted to help. Then he called me to the ministry. With the anointing, you have to be where God wants you to be to get the elements you need to do what he wants you to do. Every anointing has its own amount of training time, and you have to be faithful with the training time to get to the point. Otherwise, you'll have the anointing, but you won't be faithful with it. Everything of God is activated by faith. Everything. Your salvation is faith activated. The condition of your life is based on how you activate your faith. Your faith your faith comes from the word of God that you receive in your heart. Because faith has to work from the heart. And it can't work from the heart unless you receive the word of God from the heart. Because you know Jesus as your Savior, you have a measure of faith. And that measure of faith suggests that you can have everything. But the word of God will reveal to you all the promises. You receive those promises in your heart and you speak it with your mouth, and a process has begun. And then there's a faith side. You believe it, and then there's a work side. Now that brings it to life, because faith is a verb. It's an act. And you learn to trust God because of what happened in the past. But remember, trust doesn't do anything. Because you trust God, now you use your faith to get something done. So I continue to put God's word in my heart and in my mouth, and I speak it so I can do the wonderful things he wants me to do. And when it comes to the anointing, I obey God. Then he'll prepare me to use that anointing. He'll prepare me to understand that anointing. He'll prepare me to do the things of God. And I learn the needs. I learn the word. And the Holy Spirit helps me minister life to people. Isn't that easy? I don't have to figure out anything. If I can obey him, I can do it. Anybody can. So what you do under the anointing is a lot more than what you can do on your own. And never underestimate what you've done under the anointing. Because you can't see how it's so big, you can't see it. What you've put in motion, you can't calculate. Only God can calculate. God is looking at the whole picture. And so with the anointing, I wrote a paper one time. It was anointed. It was called Living Letters, and the letters are alive. They're living letters. They really. Living Letter, that's the name of the ministry, Living Letter Ministries. But I would write a word. A decade later, people would find them, and it'll speak to their life at that point, because God knew what they would need. Way back in the 80s, and when I started writing in 91, way back in the 90s when I first wrote it, it would minister today just like it did then, even with specifics. So when you follow God, You're living a legacy, and you can do things that you normally couldn't do. It's very important to obey him, to go where he's sending you, to do the oddball things he give you to do. Men are looking at your actions and say, well, I never seen it like that before. And they scoff at it. They scoff at it. Even pastors. Sometimes anointed people will, while they're under the anointing, they'll tell you to do what God said. And then when they're just speaking out of their mind, they might tell you not to do it. Or they'll tell you how to do it. Now you're doing God's job. See, man, we were not supposed to organize any ministries. We're supposed to obey. Overall, God sent us to, he said, go ye in therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. But see, these were prepared men. Jesus trained them and prepared them to begin. And even with that, some things he had to prepare them for after they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because it's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. And it will always be that way, and it'll always work that way. But if you use your mind and organize your own ministry, you're doing the Holy Spirit's job. And what you do can't compare to what the Holy Spirit can do. If God didn't speak to you with specifics, you'll never know what I'm talking about. If you keep doing what you think, what you're comfortable with and what you've already seen. But if you say, well, Lord, I don't care. Whatever you want to do, I'll do. And you mean it. And you say, Lord, take my life and do something with it, just like I did. Just say, well, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'll put my heart in and I'll do it. That, my friend, is following God. I've been teaching following God all my life. I just hope I did a good job to help people understand that I don't plan my ministry. That's God's job. I don't ever plan it. I don't plan anything. I just plan to obey whatever he say. And I fill my heart with his word so I can cooperate. See, when you fill your heart with the word, you're receiving the word in areas you need to receive it. And now, and you're not going to do everything. You're going to do something in part. And it's going to be good. Whatever you specifically do is needful and it will work. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.